more dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app.
Whoa.
Lots to get to this hour of radio. Have not talked about the red hot and rolling Portland Trailblazers yet.
No, we haven't.
Here they come, baby.
Four out of the last five.
You get the bad Jazz at home tonight. Another dub on the horizon.
Well, we have a new coworker now, the producer of Primetime, Steven.
Oh, yeah.
And I caught the tail end of Friday's program because I went to a movie.
Aha.
And he did an update and he said they've won two in a row. And I'm like, I swear to God, they just played and lost. He had omitted the Oklahoma City game. They had gotten absolutely housed.
I think we all kind of omitted that
one. It was
one.
Just sandwiched
Wasn't
in between.
Wasn't it on the same day as the playoffs,
it was too? New Year's
Eve. Yeah, it's New Year's Eve, so there's other stuff going on. You're like, yeah. Nobody's paying attention to this game.
Right,
if nobody watched it, did it happen?
Well,
is it actually a loss?
It happened,
Probably did. Yeah. So they won a couple over the weekend. We will get to them at some point. The transfer portal is exploding everywhere, and you guys are looking for a new positional coach. Does that go down? Does he, like, list that on his resume?
No, he doesn't. But here's the scary thing. You know what's on the resume?
Yeah.
Stud defensive player for Oregon State.
Yeah.
That's an alum.
That's an alum.
Who bleeds orange and black.
That was tough.
And I'll just tell you this. What does it say? One, Utah, you could certainly say, better job, Big 12, okay.
Same position coach, right? He's going to go D-line coach at Utah.
D-end or whatever versus D-line. I don't know how they're going to clarify that. But what I would say to you is you could feel that way, and I won't argue with you, but I respond with, is there a huge difference when it comes to your alma mater versus that? Okay, if there's not, then why would you leave? Something tells me... The do-re-mi smells pretty awful in Corvallis right now, especially given that we know how much the head coach is making. I can only imagine how little the assistants are making.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask your AD to take any pay cut, though, to make sure the coaches stick on staff.
That's an alum, dude.
You can't do
that.
You
shouldn't be leaving before the season starts.
It's the name on the front of the jersey that matters, Bob, not the name on the back of the jersey. Let's remember that, okay? So we got all that still to get to, and we'll play the fun game of what opening would you want if you were a viable NFL head coaching candidate?
Or do I wait?
Or do you... Oh.
I think you wait.
See what you did there.
I think you wait.
What do you got? Accept my... 24 hours. Accept it or leave it. This is your only chance.
Okay.
Let's stick a little bit in the Peach Bowl, though, because we did pull some audio. They had the press conference. It's a short week. We don't have a ton of time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one time now where the playoff, like, they give you a month layoff going into the first round, and then you have, like, almost a two-week layoff going into the second round, and now it's, okay, here we go. There's a game on Friday. Turn around.
So they can play games back-to-back weeks is what you're telling me? They don't need the month break?
Yeah, I think somebody told me that they do that throughout the entirety of the regular season, where you play every single week.
It's weird.
And usually their games are, what day of the week does college football play on?
Saturday.
That's right. Thursday, Friday, and Monday, though, will be the final three college football games of the year. Thursday night, Friday night, Monday night.
Very odd.
Talk about bad birthdays. My birthday is the day after the national championship game. So, you know.
There's two ways to look at that. You're either...
Maybe we're not even there. And I'm just an innocent bystander, and I'm heartbroken that way.
If you lose to Indiana, are you rooting for them to win it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Depends on who they play. If they play Ole Miss, that's a tough one for me. If they play Miami, you know where I'm like, that's a no-brainer. I'd rather see Indiana.
I just think if they get past your team,
I mean, I
think they're going to do it.
There's a lot of pain there for me, but there's not a hatred for Indiana. Like, there's a massive level of respect.
Now, Miami and Cignetti, I think I know who you're rooting for.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Yeah, give me the psycho. let's hear from, though, both head coaches. One interesting note on the Final Four teams. I love the Final Four that we have, not just because my team is included. I love the message that it sends about college football and where they're at. One thing they all have in common, though, is they were all Nick Saban assistants. So how about the coaching tree of old Nicky Boy?
The Saban semis.
The Saban semis. So people are calling it. Here is Cignetti on that fact.
I think everybody learned a lot from Nick. He was a great mentor, very organized, detailed, had a plan for everything, managed, lead, how to stock complacency, game day, recruiting evaluation, player evaluation. I mean, he had it all. And, you know, if you were serious about your career and wanted to be a head coach one day, you know, you took great notes or great mental notes. So I felt like after 1 year with Coach Saban, you know, I'd learned more about how to run a program than I maybe did the previous 27 as an assistant coach, and stayed with him for 3 more years. So there's a lot of disciples out there doing well, and that's why he's the greatest of all time.
It's funny. I watched this entire thing. It went on for over a half hour, and both coaches were – it's a press simultaneous press conference. They're both there. I love the number of times people ask questions of both of them. They had to go with, like, yeah, what he said. But you had to give a more thoughtful answer. Here's Lanning on the same thing.
Yeah, I just echo that. You know, in my time, I was working at Sam Houston State before I went to Alabama, and I was going to take a pay cut to go be a GA there. And when anybody asked me why, I said, I'm going to get my doctorate in football. And that's what I feel like, you know, working for Coach Saban. Just like Coach said, you learn so much. Things I thought I knew, I realized I didn't know anything. And I got to really carry that over with the opportunity to work with Coach Smart, who built off of that as well at Georgia. And that was an unbelievable experience for me. And obviously it shows here as we enter the semifinals.
Which one of his babies do you think Nick Saban's rooting for?
Ooh. You know what? Of all the people he would, if you said, he'd probably tell you he's just happy that they're all there and they're all having this opportunity. I don't know which relationship is the best for him now or was.
Because Cignetti was there for a decent amount of time.
I actually think it would be Mario.
You think it'd be Mario?
Of the four. Now, because I think Cignetti was a recruiting guy, recruiting advisor or
that
something.
That sounds right.
Lanning was just a GA.
Lanning,
when he talks, he gives Saban his flowers and always praises him. He talks more about Kirby and Norvell.
Because that's when he was an actual coach, a defensive coordinator, a position. Yeah.
And Golding, I can't pretend to know a whole lot about Golding. I just know Golding coached with Nick Saban. I think of the four, if you made me pick which one, it's probably Mario, because he was the O-line and then he was the recruiting wizard for him.
Yeah, so Cignetti was there from 2007 to 2011.
Yep.
So right out of the gate, right? Wasn't 07?
I thought 07 was LSU.
Maybe. He was already there,
so,
and then
maybe
retained
he just transitioned
on the staff
with him.
He was the wide receiver coach and the recruiting coordinator.
Oh, that's what it was. Receiver
so that's what
coach,
he was. Golding was the, it says DC, inside linebacker coach.
Okay.
I don't think he was the DC, though. That doesn't sound right.
Well, it's probably one of those co-DCs,
co-DC
but
kind
he's
of
just
things.
Getting the title, not the actual.
So he was there for 4 years.
Okay.
Let's check Mario, because I can't remember how long he was
so
there.
So he
for.
Probably, because I think Mario was more
Mario
offensive.
Was 3 years, and he was the assistant head coach, offensive line coach, and recruiting coordinator.
So I think it's still Mario, but you can make a case for probably Golding, because he worked in a lot of meetings with
defensive
Saban,
side
the
of the ball
stuff. Yeah.
I mean, look, it's one of those things that doesn't have that big of an impact on a game. It's just an interesting angle of all these guys work for Saban and their disciples.
He gets to
Saban.
Celebrate no matter who wins, because he's going to go, well, I helped create that.
This is a valid point. You brought up something in the last segment, and that was Dante and the mental side of the game that Indiana dominated for certain in the first matchup, because Dante was seeing ghosts. Like, in going back and rewatching the game, I was reminded, and I made this point last week, and I felt better after rewatching the game, like, Texas Tech could do to Oregon physically what Indiana will do to Oregon mentally. Like, Texas Tech is so much bigger and stronger and faster than Indiana. They were just having plays where they would grab Poncho and throw him out of the way and then go make a play in the run game, whereas Indiana's more of like, I don't know where the hell these guys are coming from, I'm confused, and I missed a block because of that.
Yeah.
It's more of a mental battle than it is a physical battle. Here is Lanning on adapting the second time against that tough defense.
Yeah, I think when games don't go your way, you're always trying to look for answers and reasons why, and it's really simple. You know, they blocked better, they tackled better, they moved the ball and controlled the clock, they converted third downs, you know, and it was all, you know, relatively close going into the fourth quarter, and then we turned the ball over. So you try to find all these moments that, okay, this was the difference. It's every play, right? Every play added up and every play mattered. When you're playing a team with great technique that has great scheme like Indiana, you know, that's the edge. But again, I know Dante's trying to find, okay, what are the things that didn't go right and how can he be better? You know, I have a lot of confidence in Dante and the way he preps. And, you know, knowing he maybe felt like he forced some things in this first game. He's not the same guy, like I said earlier, at this point in the season.
You know, to go back to the point I was making in the last segment, too, like, I think Dante has shown flashes of NFL throws, right? Like the opening third down to Jamari Johnson on 3rd and 9, great throw over the middle. The back shoulder along the sideline to Malik Benson, great throw, great catch. Like, they've shown that ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the 4th down play action where he's got Sadiq for a walk-in touchdown. He doesn't throw the ball. It's like, those are the kind of mistakes that you can't make against Indiana. And so it's the one reality of this game that I think everybody can use universally agree on. I would be very surprised if Oregon won the game if Dante Moore has a bad game or an average game. Like, I think in order for Oregon to win, you need him primarily and then leading the rest of the offense behind him to put together a complete game where there's not those moments or throws where you're saying, how do you not see that guy wide open?
Right.
That's a first down. You got to make that throw.
Well, and there's just similarity. I mean, obviously, Rittenberg highlighted this when we talked to him. The similarities of the teams, the way that's, you know, maybe not schematically all the way, but the way that they operate. The defense, the running attack, I think even personnel, right? Like, go back to the Oregon-Indiana game. Did anybody talk about Malik Benson in that game?
No, not really.
He had the touchdown. Charlie
Becker? Yeah, Malik Benson had the one touchdown, but that was his only catch of the game.
But we didn't, yeah, well, he had the touchdown. We also weren't talking about Malik Benson Monday of like, you know, this could become their number one because guys are going to get hurt and he's just going to be awesome. We also didn't mention Charlie Becker.
Nope.
So it's funny how they both have a receiver that's just emerged at some point during the season and become almost the go-to guy in this. And injuries has done that more for Oregon than it has Indiana. But
Becker did not have a, he did not record a stat in the game.
Yeah. I mean, prior to the Penn State game, I was with you. I'm like, who the hell is Charlie Becker? And then he's making one-footed, great catches landing on his back. I'm fascinated by this, but I'm also fascinated by something you highlighted because I do think it's the game in a nutshell. Dante's ability to adjust to what he saw versus what Haynes is going to throw at him defensively. Because this staff, I don't know how we power rank coaching staffs in college football, right? I think the portal changes all of this, and it's just a year-to-year Jimmys and Joes.
Yeah.
But that staff is so damn good. I mean, if there's anything you take away, it's Cignetti's awesome. His defensive coordinator is also a two-time Broyles Award winner.
That guy's going to get a head coaching job in 3-2. I don't know why he's still there right now. I would have been on the phone with him immediately.
You know what? That's a credit Cignetti to keep him back and probably have one more year of retaining him before he gets that head coaching gig. But my whole point is, you said, can Oregon play their A game? Because I think offensively, they've been hovering in that C to B range, depending on the game you want to point to. You play offensively the way you did against Tech, I just don't know if that game's going to be close.
Because you're not shutting out Indiana. It's not going to happen.
No.
You could be better than you were defensively in the first game. You tell me that, okay, I can envision that, but you're not shutting them out.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing to the staff that I want to give credit to Indiana is, like, I think they can go back and rewatch that game, and for all the it's hard to beat a team twice stuff, I think Indiana's coaching staff can just pick apart what did not work offensively, where Oregon's strengths are, and how they can change some of that game plan. The rushing attack is great with the two running backs, and we know they're loaded at receiver. So to me, it's about how much are you willing to bet Oregon does finally have an A performance on offense, if you're not counting the Oregon States or the Oklahoma State games, right?
Those games are no counts.
If you take into equation all the other ones, what's the percentage chance going into it, if we're being honest here, that you think it's going to be A level? And if that's not a very high percentage, you just have to go in kind of thinking like, okay, this is going to be a pretty tall task because we have not seen it enough.
No.
And the offensive coordinator is currently building another program while flying in and out of town.
So is your defense coordinator.
Exactly. Still game plan for this game. Yeah.
I think the follow-up I would have to that is there an ability for them to scale up defensively from the first game to give them more of a puncher's chance?
I certainly wonder that, too.
That's the hard read I have out of the Texas Tech game.
Because you didn't like the linebackers going into that Indiana game as much as
not.
You probably like them right now.
The way that they played against Texas Tech, like, I don't want to revisionist history that. Like, I'm sure the layoff had a bit to do with it. There's no doubt, and I argued that on Friday, but, like, Texas Tech was a team that was scoring 40 and putting up 500 yards offense on everybody. They couldn't do squat on offense that entire game. Mm-hmm. So have you peaked? Did you find something? Or are there wrinkles that you have now discovered that are going to make you better this time around? Like, they were very good in spurts defensively against Indiana in that game. The opening field goal that Indiana kicked out of the gate was because Oregon didn't get a first down. They went for it on fourth down in their own territory.
Yep.
So you hand them 3 points there. You gave them three at the end of the half because you missed your field goal and committed a DPI and he had a 60-yarder. So there's six of your points. That takes you down to 24. They put together drives when they needed to, but defensively, Oregon came out and got a couple of three and outs to start the second half. So that's the other part of it for me that I need to give Oregon's defense a little more credit. One more piece of audio and then we'll move on. Here's Lanning talking about, again, that Indiana defense being so dominant.
Yeah, it's, you know, in a lot of ways you'd call it an illusion defense. They show you one thing and they take something else away. They're really good at post-snap movements, which makes it difficult for the quarterback. Their defense of line plays with relentless effort. They're tough to block up front. And then the technique, you know, continues to show up. They've got, you know, a guy basically playing quarterback there at linebacker that's able to get him lined up and execute. They've got, you know, a strong corner there in Ponds. They fly to the ball and they attack it in the air. Probably the best zone vision break defense I've seen this year in college football. You know, they do an unbelievable job there, and they get hats. You know, and obviously it all starts with stopping the run. They do a great job with that.
Look, all I'm going to say is we're just happy to be here. Nobody's given us a chance. Hopefully put up a fight. That's all I'm at. You know, just be competitive. Can we hang within two tuds? Do you think we can do that on Friday night?
I think you're playing a good game of, like, we know what you're doing by saying that, but I think if you were to, like, put a camera below our cameras on YouTube and the table, you're actually, your legs are shaking. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want to play that team.
That's a no-shake leg right there, baby. That's a no-shake leg right there.
It's actually pretty impressive. Did you get your leg on the YouTube?
You like that flexibility?
I think your leg got on the camera. YouTube,
did that get on there?
I don't know.
Look, we're just happy to be here. Nobody's giving us a chance.
Look, you're certainly
going to be a fun win for Indiana. Yes. Congratulations on going to the national title game. And, you know, we'll see you next year.
You're
we'll
certainly going to. You did get the leg up. That's actually really. You look like a dog about to clean himself is what you look like on YouTube. I certainly give you guys. This spread is 4.5 to 3 if you want to use the Pate model. All
four
that.
Right now.
It's four in Vegas.
It's going to hop up and down a half a point over the next couple
of days. It's going to stay largely in this. You guys are absolutely going to give them a much better game than Alabama did. I think we can all agree to say that.
I don't know, man. That's Alabama you're talking about. Just happy to be here.
2-7 in bowl games.
Let's stick in college football a little bit longer. The portal portaled. Let's talk about the portal portaling.
I'm already scared of Indiana in 26.
Yeah, they're talking about loading up. Cignetti was like, I got 13 guys here for a visit. He said that in the press conference, and I think they got 13 commitments already. Oregon got one, and I'm like, wait, what? Okay. Yeah. So we'll get to that a little bit, highlight some portal stuff, some college football stuff, dive back into the NFL at the bottom of the hour. Back up for this on 105.1 FM The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Brandman's in, chewing us out. Get out of here, Brandman.
Well, he fixed your humming problem.
Squeeze them damn things! Simple. Make sure you got two!
Plug this cord in.
Look, I'm not touching wires, dude. That's not my job.
I didn't major in cord connection.
How am I supposed to know? If the computer doesn't work, I'll turn it off and then turn it on. Like, I can do that. I have that ability, but that's all I got here, man. I also would like to point out Daniel Morang sat in this same seat, didn't unplug or unplug anything.
I don't know if he's complained about it on air the way you have, though.
Oh, Morang's complaining more about it?
No.
Oh, I'm complaining more than Morang?
I think he's complained the most. Mm. I don't know if Sukanik has.
He wasn't here on Friday, so he can't complain.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, we do have breaking news out of the National Football League. Should we just get to it now? You want to do
it now? Well, we have multiple breaking news out of the National Football League.
So much for that culture. Sorry, I had to slip one of those in there. I had to do it.
Get out of here, old man.
You know I had to do it. Pete Carroll.
He gone.
For the second straight year of the Raiders.
Yeah.
One and done with their head coach.
Don't worry. Keeping the GM, though. Everything's great.
Tom Brady's in charge. He'll fix this. I love how we do that again as if he didn't have any say in this last offseason.
Are we just going to act like the problem is not the obvious cheap owner who doesn't know how to run a functional organization?
God, they are so bad, dude. It has been just disaster class. I mean, from the end of the Gruden stuff with the emails and they fire him and then Pierce gets the job. I mean, it's been an absolute unmitigated disaster. And they were a team, like, I'll give you a little bit of grief for it because you were somewhat high on the Raiders. And
oh, dude, yeah.
Like,
terrible.
I get it. Like, Carroll is an established coach. Geno had been a good quarterback. Like, I'm not making fun of the logic that went into making that call. It's just we all swing and miss sometimes in sports takes, especially in the NFL.
You have to swing on your seventh seeds, I think, in the NFL.
For
all my swinging on the Raiders.
You got the Bears.
I got the Bears.
So you got one.
That's a 50% hit rate on swings.
That's not bad. 50-50 ain't bad at all. This is just, this was a disastrous year for them. And
so
for
bad.
As bad as some other teams were, like Cincinnati not making the playoffs, or Kansas City finally having their dominant run come to an end, or the Commies with a quarterback injury.
Yeah.
Like, I put the Raiders in the category of teams who were the biggest disappointment this year. Not because I came into the year with title expectations, but they drafted Genty. You drafted a culture setter at the head coach, or drafted. You hired a culture setter. You seemingly upgraded a quarterback. You hired Chip Kelly, and it's like, oh, that's all right, kind of interesting. It was just, from game one to the end of the season, nothing went right for them. They all quit, and now where the hell do you go? But no matter where they go, there's not a lot of confidence there. And I'll tell you what, if I'm a quarterback going into the draft right now, I'm not jacked about the idea of playing for that organization and that owner.
Well, I reached out to a buddy of mine, he works in a different market, and they had announced some job stuff. So I reached out, and I said, hey, man, are you all good? All good? And he called me, and we talked. And he goes, you know, side note, I meant to text you. He's a big Jets fan. Mm. And he goes, I want them to take Dante Moore. And I go, really? You feel great about your team drafting any quarterback at this point? This
will work out well.
And I think that's the thing is, and I know we'll get to NFL draft stuff when it's closer, but like, I hope we get to a point. These kids are making, they announced today that Texas Tech is paying Sorsby $5 million.
That's good money,
like,
man.
We're just getting contract information now as if it's NFL.
Yeah.
I hope we get to the point soon where these dudes pull Elways and Mannings.
I'm not playing for you. You're just stupid PF Chang.
Draft
haircut.
Me.
I'm not
I going will to Vegas. Go back to college.
Yeah?
The NBA's letting pro guys get drafted and go back. Why can't college football have guys be drafted and go back?
Why
at this
would
point?
That be if like a Mendoza or a Moore getting drafted by the Raiders and being like, dude, no, how
and
much
then
you
filing
pay
a
me?
Lawsuit and right, saying I should be able to go back to college and then I'm losing out. Because people are gonna go, well, you can make millions. You're right. You should be deserved of that. Yeah. But I hope we get there. Here's a funny stat for you. I'm a little surprised that they fired Pete Carroll. You want to know why?
Why is that?
And I want to give one of our listeners this, at Rip City Titan. Pete Carroll has as many wins this year over 500 teams as Mike Vrabel. And you know who Pete Carroll's win was against? Mike Vrabel. And the New England Patriots.
They beat him early
I
in
went
year.
Through this because I did not believe that when I saw it. And
that's bananas.
I rubbed my eyes. Outside of the Bills, the Patriots have only beaten below 500 teams.
That's remarkable.
And they're 14-3.
That's remarkable.
Maybe we should store that away for the postseason.
I already gambled on the Chargers money line, but I'm also incredibly biased.
Oh, well, you're a Herbert guy.
I'm a Herbert guy, so don't follow me because of that.
That blew my mind when they tagged our show in that, and I went, what?
So one guy's good enough for maybe coach of the year, and the other guy's losing his job. What are we doing here?
That guy beat that guy. Look,
Jesus, man.
I took a swing on the culture stuff. I do. Culture is important. I think it's vital and all that, but he's also 73, and so that just, it's not all his fault, but he made the decision of who to hire at OC. He obviously is career-wise dying on the Geno franchise quarterback hill.
Yeah, that was he had a big hand in that trade.
That
he coached
him
in Seattle, like, let's go get my guy back.
And you know what? Genty actually had a good rookie season considering he had no offensive line.
Terrible offensive line. Yeah.
You look at the Raiders now, and I know you had a thing about, like, which job do you choose? They're probably my last choice.
Now, let me ask you this.
I'd rather go to the dysfunctional Titans, I think, at this point.
Sure.
Than Davis. He just, it needs to be highlighted.
I'd rather live in Nashville, too, probably.
He's such a bad owner.
Let me ask you this, though, and I don't know where the quarterbacks are. Like, it seems like there's no chatter that Mendoza might come back, but he does have the ability to come back if he wants to. Dante still has a decision looming. Like, Ty Simpson has not made up his
Mendoza's
mind yet.
Mendoza's going to leave, dude. Right, he's going to be the number one pick if it's not Dante.
How much does that change the equation? Having the number one, because the Raiders,
these guys.
Out of the weekend, the Raiders secured the number one overall pick, and we can make fun of the Giants for winning their game, because that's what the Giants always do at the end of the season.
Sure.
They shoot themselves in the foot when they have a chance for this, and they fall the way to like 5 or 6 in the draft order. But the Raiders are going to have the number one overall pick, so whoever they're hiring, it's a decent place to start.
Yeah.
Well, if you like this quarterback class.
I think that's the thing is, no matter how we feel about the owners, you get bad owners who become successful because of the hires they make.
Yeah, look at Cincinnati, dude. Cincinnati was nothing and they shouldn't be anything because their owner's terrible, but they got Burrow.
So, like, if you make the right coaching hire, no matter how you feel about Davis and the organization, Mendoza, Moore, whoever, they're going to believe in their own ability enough to say, oh, if I go there with that guy, we can change all of that.
Yeah.
It might be a little ridiculous because we see quarterbacks fail at bad organizations all the time. But I don't, these guys clearly don't think the way you, me, and everybody else that isn't in it thinks. It's no different than kids in high school. Remember, we talked about this years ago when kids will go, like, there's a sophomore quarterback at a program who had a good season, clearly has to come back. And the kid, it's like number 2 or 3 in their class, goes, I'm going to that school. And we're all like, they already have a quarterback.
Right, there's already a guy there.
And we go, how do you do that? Because they don't watch. They don't follow. They don't think about that stuff the way we do. So Dante, if he does leave, or Mendoza when he does leave, they're not going to go, well, it's the Jets and the Raiders. They've been picking in these spots for a decade. They're going to go, I'm amazing. And if I have that coach,
I'll go win. Yeah. One and done, back-to-back years for the Raiders. Pierce, well, not quite one and done for him because he was the interim guy in the back half of the year.
He's getting interviews, by the way.
He's now getting interviews.
What about him should make anybody?
I would certainly not be thrilled if my team hired Pierce. I don't quite understand that. That's not a guy that would be near the top of my list.
Who's even the hottest coaching candidate right now? It might be the guy that got fired at Cleveland.
Let's get into this a little bit. So we were going to get college here, and then Pete Carroll got fired. So we'll just continue on this train a little bit. We'll go through some of the other notes. Some people cleaning house completely. Some people saying it's just the coach, not the GM, which, what? That doesn't make any sense. What are the most attractive openings? What other ones are we expecting? We'll stick in the NFL a little bit longer. All right, welcome back in. To kind of frame this discussion, I will give you, we officially have, ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 of the 2026 NFL draft.
Yeah, we do.
What your order will be. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for Kenyon Sadiq to replace Travis Kelce and have us kind of hate him.
You think he'd be a top 10 pick? You think he's good? You would take him in the top 10? Did he show you enough this year?
Not an NFL GM. I didn't say I would take him.
Put your hat on, dude.
I think they're probably going to go defense.
You're a fantasy football GM.
Doesn't feel like Kelsey's coming back, which is odd because he didn't have like a full goodbye, and that kind of career should have a goodbye with that organization.
It was also weird because there was a quarterback playing that we never heard of before, and it was they were eliminated.
Well, didn't they have the Texas kid playing? Bushell? I saw them a little bit on my red zone once in a blue
moon. This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the Raiders.
Oh, I was thinking more of the last home game 2 weeks ago.
I didn't know who that cat was at all, but they're probably going to go defense, but. Could you imagine Kenyon Sadiq, who is a great run blocker? And
don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want to have to root for that.
Like,
I don't want to have to do that.
What if he is the reason they get back up to the top?
It keeps Herbert from winning a Super Bowl. The Chiefs come back because of Sadiq. No! It's my nightmare! Your top 10, Raiders, number one. Congratulations, Las Vegas. Great year.
Good job, Vegas. Way to go.
The number two overall pick, by the way, there was a four-way tie, so we had to go tiebreakers for the worst possible record.
The Giants, dude.
The Giants. We'll get to them. They're not on yet. The New York Jets, number two. Come on down. Hey, congratulations.
That's impressive.
The New York Jets made NFL history this year, becoming the first team to go an entire season without a single interception.
My team was in this until about week 10, by the
you
way.
You guys didn't have one until week 10? Niners didn't have one until week 10?
Week 10 or 11, they had not had like an interception.
Dude, can we get one?
They had bad luck. They weren't catching them, but yeah, that's a terrible stat to be a part of.
I think it was on Sunday Night Football in the halftime maybe last night or maybe pregame, but they put up a graphic of the quarterback numbers against the Jets, like all quarterbacks combined against the Jets this year. And it was like 38 touchdowns, no interceptions, 114 quarterback rating, and 70% like just MVP numbers.
I don't want to spend too much time on the Jets on a Monday.
How are we feeling after 1 year there?
I'm not a big like blow it up after 1 year guy because just year to year, that cannot be good internally.
Yeah, they also have a terrible owner. What do these teams have in common?
Well, I know. And these teams seem to be picking in the same spots all the time. What's happening there?
Yeah.
That was about as bad as you could possibly have as a debut. Their over-under was, I looked this up because I had it for my...
Remember game one, too? They nearly beat the Steelers and Fields played pretty well. And everybody's like, oh, this could be a fun little Jets team this year.
So their over-under was 5.5.
5.5. The under hit there. That's three wins. Yeah. So number two, Jets. Number three, the Arizona Cardinals. Congratulations, Arizona Cardinals.
They're just not going to do anything. They're just cool with
They take a quarterback? You take a quarterback? You have to, right? You going to roll Kyler out there? You going to go Jacoby Brissett?
You're going to have that guy coach again? What about that guy coaching makes you feel good at all?
He's got that fire in his gut. Number four is the Tennessee Titans. Come on down, Tennessee. Good year for you. So there's your top four picks.
Where's Mike Vrabel right now?
Mike Vrabel, I believe, is in the two seat hosting the Sunday night game of Wild Card Weekend after winning 13 games with New England.
There you go.
The Giants decided to once again win a game at the end of the year when they had a pathway. The Giants with a loss were guaranteed the first or second pick in the draft. Mm. And then they beat the Cowboys, and they fall down to number five. So congrats to the Giants on the fifth overall pick.
By the way, I didn't watch a whole lot of that Cowboy-Giant game. I did Sprague the line on the Cowboys. Whoopsie-daisy. I guess Dak's not going to play longer than 10 minutes.
Well, that's a whole other thing I want to get into. Yeah. Week 18 just needs to... I didn't end up like... I turned the channel yesterday.
They need to be investigated for who's being announced playing versus who's actually going to play.
It just doesn't matter. Teams aren't playing, guys. Sure. It sucks. Week 18 blows.
That all being said... did the Giants fans boo them? Because in the NBA, if the Blazers were in this position, if the draft worked the same way...
Oh my God, I would lose my bleeping mind.
If they're actively trying to win the...
Some fans would cheer for this, and you know they would. I just want to have fun, Sprague. Just entertain me. Young went off tonight. You know those fans exist.
Maybe on...
Remember when I was the thief of joy after a four-game winning streak before the All-Star break? When we had a chance to get Wemby? You want that win against Memphis or you want Wemby?
Okay, take the Blazers. Use any other NBA team.
Yeah,
if you're a loss away from the one or two pick and you actively try and dominate,
you got to tank that
game. They should have been booed for
that. You have to tank that game. You cannot win that game.
That you should be booed for is that game.
Can I win that game? The rest of your top 10, Cleveland at number 6, Washington at 7. That's an interesting one because you think Daniel's back. Maybe you add a good piece there at 7.
Oh, they got a position. Yeah, they're sitting in there.
Saints with Tyler Shuck, number 8. And then the Chiefs, as you mentioned, 9. And the Bengals 10. That is the top 10 of your NFL draft order. Let me ask you guys this. We'll kind of get into some of the other openings and talk about them. We can go kind of spot by spot and rank them if you want. But is there any big surprise for you? Have any of the moves surprised you so far of coaches getting fired, or did we expect all of them? Stefanski surprised you at all?
No.
No, Carolina didn't.
Noise on the Stefanski stuff had been building for the last 2 weeks. What surprises
Atlanta
me,
ended the season hot. Sometimes I can keep a team from, you know, firing people.
What surprises me is that more teams didn't do what Atlanta did. By the way, it's insane how long Atlanta's not made the playoffs.
When was Atlanta's last playoff game?
I want to say it was...
Didn't they have a year where they got there with Ritter?
Give me a second.
Didn't they have 1 year where he was like somehow in the... Am I misremembering that?
Well, and given the division,
yeah,
is what I'm talking about. So
the
Bucks
have won it like 5 years in a row.
Yeah, their last playoff was in 2017.
2017, okay.
2017.
Was it Matt Ryan still there? He was still there, right?
That was Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn. That was the year after their Super Bowl, and then they didn't make it, fired him. Raheem Morris, by the way, filled in for him.
Yes, he did.
And then they went and hired Arthur Smith and then brought back Raheem Morris. I'm more surprised, Dirt, not at the firings. We'll see what Tampa does, because I know Todd Bowles has won some division crowns. He doesn't leave me super excited. I'm more surprised more franchises don't make these package decisions.
That's the huge question for me coming out of this. Like, why is Cleveland firing Stefanski and keeping their general manager?
Andrew Berry came in with Stefanski, and they're firing the guy that, by the way, teams are going to line up to hire that guy, whether you like him or not.
They will.
I don't understand the decisions when you're these bad teams running on a couple years together. You don't make this a package deal. I'm as equally stumped as the Colts deciding to keep Chris Ballard. Why?
Phillip Rivers went on a run there late, baby.
But he didn't.
He almost beat the Seahawks in the
49ers. Riley Leonard was better, by the way, than Phillip Rivers.
He threw that early tud. You're like, why hasn't this guy been playing, man?
Like, I
get him in the lineup.
Steichen,
yeah, I'm with you.
Clearly has an ability, right? He got Daniel Jones to perform pretty well before the injury. They ended their season in misery, but they had a great
start.
Does
he deserve credit for the Daniel Jones stuff, though? Because that, I mean, if he stays healthy, do we think the Colts are in the playoffs?
Because I think the intel was going into the camps, he was pushing for Anthony because he picked Anthony.
Yeah.
And Steichen was like, I'm going Daniel. I don't care. Remember, we talked about that when they announced it. We were like, what? Daniel Jones? And then they came out the gate 8-2. They finished in misery. They lost 7 straight. Like,
that was a brutal end.
Chris Ballard's tenure at Indianapolis is horrific.
He'd been there a long time.
And his owner, you know, RIP, Ursay called him Michael Jordan.
He did.
So... like, I'm stumped by that, but Atlanta is looking at this and saying, this is not a coach
problem. Atlanta cleaned house. They fired everybody. Now Matt Ryan's in charge. Matty Ice is back, baby.
Yeah, and so some of these organizations deciding to fire their coaches isn't shocking. It's that, like, what? Why, if you're the Giants, if you don't love Joe Shane or you have to announce that you're retaining him, you want to make your next coach decision?
Yeah, I don't get that. I'm within complete agreement there. If I'm a Giants fan, I'm pissed today. If I'm a Browns fan, I'm pissed today. The ones when you're just split, and this, it reminds me of a couple of years ago when we talked about this in Portland, when we fired Terry Stotts. It's like, all right, you want to tell me it's time for a fresh voice and a new coach?
Sure.
All right. I mean, I didn't think he was the main focal point of our problems. I thought it was more roster construction, but all right, you want to get a new coach in? I'm totally fine with that. You got to fire the GM alongside with him, and you got to clean house, and you got to let somebody come in with a new vision and a plan, because you're clearly not going in the right direction. And so the idea to keep your GM in Cleveland and New York and other places, but fire the head coach, not fully on board with that. It is Black Monday. We are now up to, I believe, 5 coaches who've been fired. Is my math correct on that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
The Titans fired theirs weeks ago.
They count,
Raiders,
yeah.
As far
Browns.
As in the last, so Atlanta, Cleveland, and the Raiders over the last,
okay, and then we
hours.
Had the Giants earlier and Giants, the Titans earlier.
Giants,
those are our 5 openings currently.
What's the sexiest job to you guys? Me, it's Atlanta. Right now, if you were to pick any of those 5.
What's the reasoning there? Trust in Penix?
It's a complete tear rebuild.
Yeah.
Right? It's a
so you're getting your own GM with you?
Everything. You're getting new president. Your entire organization, sans blank himself, is saying it's a canvas. And maybe Matt Ryan will not be a good hire. But it's general manager, right? If I'm them, I'm doing what Seattle did. I'm doing what Jacksonville's doing. I'm doing what San Francisco's been doing. Like, I want my coach GM. I want that to be such a good partnership.
Simpatico.
Simpatico. Guys who know each other. They're familiar. They recognize and respect one another.
Speaking of that, remember Liam Cohen turned down the Jags job because of Trent Baalke. And he was like, you want me to take that job? You fire his ass. And what do? They fired his ass. How do they feel about that right now?
It's looking great. Yeah. It's a great decision. So, yeah. Washington, I know they didn't have the year they wanted, but Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, yeah. Like, I just think there's a lot of organizations. You need all of that, and Atlanta has it all blank as of right now as we speak from top down. So Cleveland, I don't want Andrew Berry.
No, and you got the whole Deshaun thing, and you don't have a quarterback because Shador and Dylan Gabriel are not.
Is the coach going to be benefited having Joe Shane? I don't know. Yeah. So that ownership group has been a little impatient and made some weird decisions lately.
I think I'd
the
probably,
Jets, yeah. Or not the Jets, the Titans, yeah. That ownership group sucks.
Yeah.
The Raiders, I don't. Why? Because Tom Brady's going to smile at me?
I would go Giants number one just because there's a little bit there with Dart for me of like, all right, I can see, like, he's a dumbass and he needs to slide and stop taking hits.
Well, what
like,
are they going to do about their defense?
The defense is an issue, but
is
you
Kayvon
got...
Is going to go forward?
You got pieces.
You feel great about Abdul? He was up and down.
Bad early and then
Burns
good late.
Burns was their best one.
Yeah, I just... You're nitpicking here a little bit because none of these are good spots, but I think just because of the core... You know me, I was a Penix guy coming out of college, but he just...
I don't even know Penix is going to be the guy going forward. It's the division is so bad, it feels... But that's not to count Baltimore potentially
Baltimore
opening.
Baltimore could be open. Yeah.
Buffalo could open. Tampa could open.
Miami could be open. I don't know if that's a good job for people, but Miami.
Right, yeah. There's still a handful out there.
Let's get to a couple of the notes on teams who will no longer be playing, because we might not talk about them for a while. A couple other angles out of the final weekend of the NFL season. We'll dive into it. We'll get to the Blazers coming up top of the hour. We're back after this. 105.1 FM, The Fam. Jeff Russ coming in here in the break. I'm actually a little nervous about Friday night. It's like, yeah, no S, Jeff.
It's fast. I'm going to be curious to hear all the noise and rhetoric this week from people locally because...
I'll tell you who Morang's going to pick.
What? Not Oregon?
No.
No,
I saw him going into the New Year's Eve show because we were right after them, me, Suk, and Anthony.
Sure.
I walked in, getting ready to start. So, you excited for tomorrow, Dirt? I'm like, hell yeah, dude. It's quarterfinal playoff game. I can't wait. He said, well, I picked Texas Tech. I'm like, Danny, that's the least surprising thing anybody's ever said to me. But, hey, well, good luck with your prediction. We'll see how it works out for
Look,
you.
Look, they got a great chance. It's just I love that it's only a little worried.
Yeah, a little worried. Nobody's giving us a chance.
And then, look, Oregon has certainly played pretty well since that game. I would also counter and say I think Indiana's also played pretty damn
Who have
well.
They beaten, Sprague? They haven't beaten anybody.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Get out of here. Ohio State was overrated all year, huh? Sticking in the NFL, a couple of lingering takeaways from losing teams who were seasons are done, but they're not firing their head coaches.
Yeah.
What did we make of the Niner getting a personal foul call? Did you see that yesterday?
I missed that one. So, that Viking-Packer game couldn't have been further from my brain.
He ended up hurting his hand and leaving the game. And he's like seen apologizing to his entire team on the sideline. He went for a first down scramble run and then lowered his shoulder into a corner going out of bounds. And then went face mask to face mask with the Packer corner and then got a 15-yard taunting penalty. The starting quarterback got the taunting penalty. The reason I bring it up was because there was a report over the weekend that the Vikings are going to be very open-minded about their quarterback plans this offseason after seeing what they saw from... You know, McCarthy this year.
It's weird. It's almost like all that camp noise was validated throughout
what?
The entire way of the season.
What? And in that note, it is funny to now point out that Sam Darnold is only the second quarterback in NFL history to win 14 games in back-to-back years.
Him and Brady.
Him and Tom Brady.
What a stat
that
to
is
be a part
it,
of.
Because Darnold did it last year in Minnesota and he did it this year with Seattle.
I'm going to throw something at you.
What do you got for me?
You're a Minnesota Viking fan. You're blowing the old horn. You're skull clapping.
How could you not?
You rather roll the dice... And say, year two leap, my guy Niner.
My guy Niner's going to take a jump.
Or roll the dice and say, Malik Willis, could you be our Daniel Jones?
A little bit of something there.
Or Sam Darnold.
Guy can run around and make some plays.
Mac Jones.
Yeah.
You know, like, where would you be?
I would be more in the line of, let's take a flyer on another guy.
Because you're not one, right now, and this you're, is
there's
only
There's no
one.
Confidence in McCarthy.
You're not feeling great.
No. It doesn't mean he can't turn it around. Doesn't mean he can't be good. But it just, there wasn't a lot there that he could show you, or that he did show you this season. So that's the tough part with it. I just chuckled at the idea that they're going to be open-minded. I bet they would love to have Sam Darnold back right now. Or, hell, even Daniel Jones, who was also in their lineup. He was in their locker room last year. They had Danny Dimes and Sam Darnold. Have they become the new Carolina Panthers, where they're losing these quarterbacks, and they go wanted to have success elsewhere.
Who made that decision, by the way?
I don't know.
Was it O'Connell to say, I believe in McCarthy a lot? Or was that an organizational, we got to use the guy we picked, and he missed last year, and so our fill-in was great? But
yeah, the intel a couple years ago was that he wanted to hold on to Kirkers, even though the Achilles injury happened, which, you know, thankfully you didn't, because that didn't age well for Atlanta. It ended up being a disaster for them to sign him. I think he still has another year left on the deal, right? Wasn't it a three-year deal for Kirkers in Atlanta?
I believe it was,
He's got one more, and they flirted with trading him all year, and everybody's like, no, we're not trading for that contract. We're not taking you. So sometimes the coach is wrong in that decision, but I think sometimes if I'm a GM and I have an offensive-minded head coach, I almost want to give them the call on their quarterback. Do you think this is the guy or not? You work with him every day. You're smart enough. You got 14 wins out of Sam Darnold.
Your job might be on the line with this decision.
Yes, this is how quickly these things change. Stefanski was a two-time coach of the year, and he just got fired predominantly because of bad quarterback play and them not being able to figure out that position. So you got to figure it out this year, and if you don't, I don't know where you go in the years to come, and maybe you're bad enough to go draft a guy next year.
You know, speaking of Stefanski, the Browns end up winning that game at Cincinnati, which was a little shocking to me. I just thought Cincinnati would end on a slightly higher note.
Yeah, tell me about it. I gambled on the Bengals 7.5. And they threw a pick six, 100-yard pick six, and then had a fumble scoop and score touchdown in that game.
Myles Garrett broke the sack record.
He did.
And I don't know where it registers for you. I don't want to get into the whole, like, all of sports, but, like, I remember Strahan doing that and how massive that felt in the moment because it was on Fox and Favre and the dive and... And then Watt tied it, and it didn't feel
as big.
It didn't feel as big. Maybe that's just me not.
Could be a New York thing, too.
Maybe.
And Strahan had won the Super Bowl, I believe, already.
No,
right?
They hadn't won the Super Bowl at
he
that
did
point.
That before the
yeah,
Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was before the Super Bowl. And then, like, Garrett did it, and they stopped the game. Did you see the reaction from the Bengals? Like, Jamar Chase came out and was like,
he was pissed.
Why are we stopping the game? And they're like, well, they're recognizing the record. He's like, who cares?
We're in the middle of a game.
They should get flagged for celebrating for so long. He said they tried to hurry up as an offense.
I mean, that's a valid argument.
And the refs stepped in and said, nah. And he goes, why? And he goes, do you guys get to interview the refs? Because he was curious what the refs were saying about it.
My favorite quote that he had after the game was, I'm not going to Cancun like everybody's telling me to go to Cancun. That made me chuckle from Chase. They got a valid point here.
You don't think they should stop the game for record-breaking moments?
I understand
moments?
The desire.
Remember Drew Brees' moment in New Orleans? They stopped the game.
Gave him a piece of paper, didn't they?
Yes.
Give him a little piece of paper.
Well, if you're going to stop it and you know you're going to stop it, then just tell the team beforehand. The fact that they now, maybe they did and the coaches never told the players, I have no idea. But if you're going to do that, which in that game, since there's really no ramification, it does the outcome doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But both teams need to be notified properly. Hey, if this happens, we're stopping it. We're going to recognize it. Be prepared.
But are you not the okay? So if you're a Zach Taylor, are you not thinking if he does it, we're probably going to have to stop for 5 minutes?
I mean, that should be a thing going in because I feel like every record that gets broken, they stop the game.
Yeah.
But I see the point that they're trying to make. Like, why? Why are we not allowed to go hurry up?
Well, because he
broke
the
record. So they can just get an extra timeout. We just get to blow the whistles and the game's over.
Well,
we
it's
just
not
stop
over.
For 10 minutes.
I mean,
we got to stand around for 10 minutes. Now my offense is just getting cold over here.
But the history of that sport doesn't
celebrate
suggest...
it after the game. Why do we need to do it in the middle of the game?
When Strahan broke it against Favre, didn't they slow and stop the game?
They for sure did. Yeah. They do in every record.
And Favre like hugged him and made everybody go, oh, you gave him the record, you little.
I've just never heard the other side of this point being made. And now that it's been made, I'm kind of like, you know what?
Go watch Jamar Chase. It was hilarious.
Most of the big records are offensive records.
Yeah.
And so they're controlling the football.
And
so
either way.
If they stop. Yeah. But when you're on, you know.
Defense, you don't control the pace.
He really hates that. Like, Jamar Chase is great because he won his performance. But he generally, if you hear him talk about the other teams in the division, he really lives in the... Yeah. I hate all of these teams.
I love it, dude. They're another talk about teams. I was going to get to them here. Fascinating offseason ahead for them.
They're keeping
they go?
Zach Taylor.
Zach Taylor, that's been reported this morning. He's sticking around. They got a lot to fix defensively. They paid their wide receivers. It just didn't go well for them, so I'm curious to see where it goes there. And on the Garrett sack record, last note, it wasn't that big of a deal to me, and I don't know if it's because of the extra game of the regular season.
Well, that was the other part of it, is the extra game gave him it. Otherwise, he doesn't get
it.
Is
and to your point, like, we had Watt get there. We've had other guys flirt with it. It's just kind of, I don't know. When Strahan did it, it felt like, oh, my God, nobody's done it.
Yeah, but when Gastineau did it, weren't they still playing 14 games?
They were. Strahan had more games to break it, and now he's got more games to break Strahan's record.
How do you weigh this if you're a league of any sort? If you change your structure, should you just have categories of 17-game season, Myles Garrett?
I would have
TJ Watt, and then 16 is Strahan. If it's 14 and you're right on that with Gastineau, then that's 14. Like,
I think in the record,
they don't do that. They don't separate it.
I think to say who holds the record, it now has to be Myles Garrett, because technically he has the most sacks in a season. But in the Hall of Fame, I would have something, and maybe they do, of like, in this many games, this is the record. In this many games, this is the record.
Because if you're right, Swag, that Gastineau 14 got games. 14, yeah. I mean, three less? Well, how many does Gastineau have if he plays three more?
Three more games, exactly. So a little bit there.
You hurt me, Brett. You hurt me.
Damn it, Brett. 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 One of the most awkward encounters we've ever seen.
That's on all-time great.
Gastineau, like, and Brett Favre.
You hurt me, Brett.
Damn it, Brett.
You hurt me.
We'll get to the Blazers to kick off the final hour. We got some college football nuggies to get to as well. It is loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM. The Fan.